A service for the second Sunday of Easter, April the 7th, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for a thousand generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle now from 1 John 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things, so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel now, according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the hands in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled The Agony and the Ecstasy. It is based upon our gospel reading today from John 20. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt really badly about a certain situation that may have arisen? Everything went tragically wrong, and as a result, a number of people suffered. You feel horrible about the whole thing and wish you could change what happened, but you can't. Then what would make this worse is knowing that you played a part in bringing about the tragic event. You could have done something to prevent it, and if not, you might have been able to lessen the blow. However, by your thoughtless actions, you actually contributed to the tragic event which others are now having to suffer along with you. Should this ever happen, it is a terrible place to be. You feel mad that it happened. You feel sad for the loss. You feel sorry for the others affected. You feel very disappointed with yourself. In fact, you feel a lot of things, and none of those feelings are pleasant. Together, they leave you in agony. Perhaps I've brought to your mind a time when a number of things went wrong for you. Maybe you were in an accident. Though it may not have been your fault, perhaps you could have prevented it. Now people are hurt, perhaps even one for whom you were responsible. You yourself may have been injured and your property is destroyed. Worse, someone might have died, and so there is intense grief. Can you forgive those responsible? Can you forgive yourself? The emotional pain you might feel well exceeds the physical pain you may be experiencing. if only this whole situation might miraculously change. And so you pray. Well, I hope that I have not described a situation to which you relate well. However, I believe I have described one that the disciples and other loyal followers of Jesus experienced. They experienced it after their celebration together of the Passover. That was when Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. They went from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's when all hell broke loose. Judas betrayed our Lord. The other disciples fled. Jesus was arrested. He was sentenced, beaten, and crucified. Before they knew it, Jesus had died and was buried, sealed in the garden tomb. Jesus' 11 remaining disciples regrouped back in that upper room in which they had celebrated the Passover. The possibility of the Jewish leaders also coming after them was a reasonable concern. This is where our gospel lesson this morning finds them. We read that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Yes, together they huddled, experiencing great anguish. Jesus was dead, and had they not fled, maybe there was a chance he'd still be alive. Maybe they were regretting not having done more to have kept him from going to Jerusalem in the first place. In addition, they feared that they too might either be stoned or crucified. And even if not, they experienced the emotions that would come with dashed hopes, grieving for what might have been, and having now to restart their lives as failures. Also, they wondered if God would ever forgive them for their sins, failures, and shortcomings. This may have been most intense for Peter, who wept bitterly after denying that he even knew Jesus, invoking God's curse upon himself if he were lying, which he was. Maybe it wasn't only Judas who was at that time tempted with suicidal thoughts. What a miserable existence was then theirs. Then, on top of all that, to add to their grief and to aggravate their situation, the women reported the tomb empty. Peter and John ran to check out their claim, and it was so. Jesus' body was removed, and very likely they would be blamed, suspects numbers 1 through 11. Soon their hiding place would be discovered. Instead, however, something unimaginable happened. It is reported that Jesus came and stood among them. How could this be? Jesus was dead, his body perhaps stolen. Besides, the doors to their upper room were locked. However, there Jesus stood. Were they about to get an earful? After all, they deserved it. Jesus could berate each of them with lengthy lists of how they had each let him down. If they hadn't been feeling agony already, they soon would. What did Jesus say to them? Did he have many harsh words for each? No. Instead, Jesus had only one gracious word for all. That word is shalom. We require four words to translate it, for it means peace be with you. With just this word, all their agony was released and gone. In its place was ecstasy. How could this be? How could they be the recipients of such a gracious word when they deserved a tongue lashing? How it could be is revealed in what Jesus next did. We learn that when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And what they saw were three of his five holy wounds. At the sight of them, perhaps these words from the prophet Isaiah came flooding into their minds. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Those amazing, wonderful wounds of his had brought them peace. It had been delivered to them in person by the resurrected Christ. No one was to be excluded. Unfortunately, Thomas had stepped out before Jesus' appearance. After hearing the others report, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas thought his comrades had lost it. He concluded that their agony was more than they could bear, and so they were suffering mass hallucination. Thomas would remain in what he considered reality, telling the others, "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then, aware of what Thomas had said, Jesus went up to him, inviting, "Put your finger here. See my hands? And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas also received Jesus' peace through Christ's holy wounds, that he too might leave behind the agony to join the others in ecstasy. Friends, life's circumstances may not have ever left you and me as low as the disciples were following Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, death, and burial. But more than likely, it has seen you in the pit, in the depths of woe. Your agony may not have been physical, or it may have been physical, but in addition, it may have been mental and emotional. You may have been beating yourself up for your part in it and for not having done more to prevent it. You may have been deep in grief, even with thoughts of suicide entering your mind. The agony can feel unbearable. However, when you are at the lowest, don't give up. Psalm 30, verse 5 points out, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." After all, it's always darkest before the dawn. Jesus has his own way of coming to where each of us are at and giving us just what we need, as he did to Thomas and the others, extending to us his shalom, his peace, through faith in him. He came to us in holy baptism, wherein we were connected to both Christ's death and resurrection. He comes to us through his word, proclaimed and preached. He comes to us when we receive what he instituted at the Last Supper. And another way in which he comes to assure us of his peace, healing our wounds, is through those whom he sends to speak to us words of absolution. In fact, it was at the Easter appearance of Jesus that he established this very thing, starting with the disciples. Recall how Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." This continues with the church's pastors, who are presently called, sent, and given that authority to do the same to all who confess their sins and trust in Christ. In effect, whenever you hear the words of absolution from me, and anyone for that matter, it is Jesus coming to where you are at, inviting you to touch the wounds in his hands and side, and being told, "Peace." Friends, the reality is that life has and could yet bring you serious blows that will leave you in agony. Times like these may leave you feeling terrible, thinking horrific thoughts. The enemy wants you to give way to despair and give up on faith, like Judas. However, it is precisely then that we do well to remember to let Jesus have the last word, which he wants to speak to each of us, exactly where we are, like Peter. Jesus says to you, and sometimes even through me, "Peace be with you." Because of that, in the end, everything is going to be okay. all agony gives way to ecstasy thanks to Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, who took upon himself the chastisement that brought us peace, and by whose stripes you and I are healed. Peace be with you. Shalom. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead. In him we have been reborn into a new and living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word, that we may grow to maturity of faith and have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to those ordained for the service, for your service, the gift of the Spirit, wisdom that comes down from above, and grace to faithfully fulfill their holy calling where you have placed them. May words of absolution spoken by them be received as your word of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your people are united in the common life and love of our Savior, grant that we would share that life and love with those in need. Build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness, life, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have instituted authorities to carry out your justice. Bless all who make, administer, and judge the laws of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your good will. Bring peace, we pray, to troubled parts of the world, especially where wars are presently being fought. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst. Comfort also those who weep. May the blessed joy of Easter morning be with all who grieve the passing of loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in the Holy Supper. Whenever we partake, may we taste and see that the Lord is good, and continually grow up unto salvation. Establish through it in our hearts your peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the Blessed Sacraments in addition to Holy Absolution, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through your means of grace establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.